gives anyone the interpretation? Whether it's interpreted or not, it's still mystery spoken in the Spirit. I remember in a particular church service where somebody spoke in tongues, no interpretation was given at all. But later on, a little Dutchman, shortly over from Holland, sat in that service, knew nothing whatsoever about speaking in tongues or anything else. And after the service was all over, he came and told us in very broken English what had been spoken in the Spirit, and he understood it. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto God. The scripture that we put on our announcements is the scripture with which we want to begin this morning. And I better get my glasses. My arms are getting too short. You want to hold my Bible out far enough to read it. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, the 119th and the 126th verse, and you probably can quote it verbatim from memory. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. My own heart has been much exercised of late concerning time. I don't know why, unless it is that we're coming up to that split-second precision timing of God, and God is beginning to alert us to what is going on. We know so very, very little concerning God's timing. When God first began to deal with me lately concerning time, I was reading a book that was sent to me by a lady on the mailing list. And in this book, the brother was giving the outline of what he called the ages. And he was saying that every day of creation was 7,000 years long, and that we were almost to the end of the sixth day, which meant 42,000 years, and that the next coming age would be another 7,000 years, and that was it. He had written in this book and said that he used to think a day was 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day, and so had limited the days of creation to 1,000 years each, making it 7,000 years in duration. Then the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said he was too nearsighted, that it was of longer duration than that. And so he began to do some figuring and came up with the fact that it was 7,000 years to each year of each day of creation. And while I was reading it, the Spirit of the Lord spoke sweetly to my heart and said, he's still too nearsighted. It seems that God can't give us the scope of time because our minds are so limited. And I can't say that I can even begin to grasp what God is doing. We see but a fragment of God's time purposes and what he is working out through it all. But as I was reading this book, I just caught a glimpse of the greatness, the immensity of the time plan of God. And it is so far beyond my present comprehension that I'm praying, Lord, enlarge my mind, my understanding, that I might be able to grasp some of these things that you're speaking to us. Now, I'm not going into how long the ages are. I don't know. The only thing I know is that the basis of time is one day. And in the scriptures, one day can stand for just one day of 24 hours. It can stand for one year. For instance, they searched out the land of Canaan for 40 days, and because they refused to enter in, God said, I'll give them a year for every day, and they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. It can stand for 1,000 years, for a day is as 1,000 years in the sight of God, or it can stand for an undetermined amount of time. Therefore, God is not winding up everything in one small fraction of time. It only becomes a part of the great purposes of God. We are coming to the close of one day. we are entering into the beginning of another day. And always in the overlapping of time, there seems to be confusion. It's hard for us to let go of the old. We don't know what the new is. And there's no way through but a constant keeping of our eyes upon God. This is an hour when the voices are heard from every direction. So many voices crying in the land and in the earth. And in the rumble of all of the thunderings of men, there is a still small voice that says, this is the way. Walk in it. This is not the hour to be following after men. This is the hour to be following after him. Now, if you turn back to the book of Genesis, the second chapter, beginning at the first verse, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These, now notice this, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the soil, to till the ground. And then he goes on to tell how the mist went up from the earth to water it. We have said the heavens and the earth were created in one single day. And the majority of Bible students have maintained it was one day. But the scripture says, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth. The generations of it, and the word means the birthing of the heaven and the earth. Now, the birthings of anything are not the completion thereof. It's only the start. Up until the fourth day of creation, the sun and moon and stars did not even appear. So how are you going to say that one day he created the heavens and the earth in one 24-hour day? I have no argument with the scientists when they say that the earth is millions of years old. How do you account for the great dinosaurs that they're finding in our own state of Utah where we're living? How do you account for these prehistoric animals that they're finding in various places in the earth? Oh, I know there are those that say, well, they went down with the flood. Oh, did they? Didn't the Lord say to Noah, gather two of every kind and preserve it? God has allowed his knowledge to be imparted to men until within a very small period of time they can just about pinpoint the age of a thing by their carbon. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. How long ago was that? I have no idea. How long were the first 3 days of creation before the sun and the moon and the stars ever appeared to divide all of it up into periods of time? I do not know, and neither do you. And if this be true of the beginnings or the birthings, what do you think the end will be? Everybody's trying to wind it up so fast. But there are ages out ahead of us. When God began to speak to my heart, I saw something tunneling in like this, or I should say funneling in like this, and then funneling back out again. And I seemed to realize that we were right down here in the middle with such a little understanding of time. But as these great ages were in the past, so the great ages shall be ahead of us. If God took these ages to prepare the earth and to put man upon it. Do you think he's going to cut it all short and wind it all up in a very brief period? Indeed he is not. And he shall never cease until finally he shall be all in all. Well, we're going back there to just say a few other things. I said the day is the basis, or the very basic, from which we understand time. And then we understand, because the Word of God quotes it, that a day is as 1,000 years in the sight of the Lord. Or it might be as 10,000 years, or 100,000 years. It just simply means that God is not limited to our puny understanding of time. And neither will we when we begin to flow into God as He is ordained. All right, from the basic of a day, we move into the next period of time, which is weeks. And from that, we move into months. And from that, we move into years. So from the basic of a day, there are three other groups of time. Week, month, years. Now I grant you that the years pile up into centuries and so forth. But these are the three groups of time beyond the basic of the one day. The first mention of week in the scripture you'll find in the book of Genesis, the 29th chapter, the 27th verse. And will you note that it is spoken to the first Israelite? Now, this is important. It was not spoken to somebody of another nation or another race. It was spoken to the first Israelite, which was Jacob, having his name changed unto Israel. Fulfill her week, referring to Rachel. Remember, he had already fulfilled 7 days or 7 years to take unto him his wife, and he was fooled and got Leah. So the father-in-law said to him, all right, you fulfill her week, which amounted to 7 years, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. The first mention of week is to Israel. It is to Israel that the understanding of time is to be given. Man is coming up with many things concerning time and the understanding thereof, but the real understanding of it, the full and comprehensive understanding of time, is to be given to Israel. Now, let me say that time, as divided into a week or gathered into a week, represents earth time. Jacob was laboring hard in the earth and of the earth to obtain that which he was after. And while he was doing so, from whence came his direction? Just prior to this, you'll find him fleeing from the land of Canaan and resting in a place with his head upon a stone and dreaming of a ladder being set up to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending. Did you notice they were going up first before they came down? We talk about angels coming down from heaven. These went up before they came down. Ascending and descending, and the Lord stood at the top of the ladder and spoke to him. Now, as long as we move in pure natural earth time, all of our directions are from above. We're constantly looking up for an answer. We're constantly looking up for a revelation. We're constantly looking up for the blessing of God. You can just about pinpoint where you are in time, in God's time measure, by where you're looking for your direction. You say, isn't this good? Of course it is, in Earth time. And we've all been bound by the times of Earth. Did you ever see a time when people are bound by times and deadlines and dates like they are now? And yet I have noticed something, and others are noticing it, that in these days we forget what day of the week it is. Have you had that trouble? I'll wake up in the morning and I'll think, ooh, this must be Saturday, maybe it's only Tuesday. Or I wake up on Sunday and I think it's Wednesday. Or I have to stop and rack my brain to see what time it is. Anybody else with me? Is it getting worse? It seems like it's worse until I wonder what's the matter with my mind. I think, Lord, am I getting old? Or what? And then I found so many others were in the same boat. What is happening? We have been so accustomed to moving and operating in Earth time, and God is shaking us loose from it. And we can't understand. We're blaming ourselves because we can't seem to keep up with this crazy time in which we've been immersed for so long. I even forgot to send the rent check for the building. Talk about time. I came off and forgot to send another payment that was due. Earth time seems to be loosing its hold from us. Why, we had to get so much done in a certain length of time or else. Something is happening. God says he's going to shake everything that can be shaken, and that includes the pressures of time that are upon us. Jacob was really laboring and fighting against time to get that beloved wife that he was after. All right. What happened then when you moved from that realm of time into the next realm of time? And as I was pondering this, the Spirit of the Lord spoke a scripture to me that I have read many times, and you have read too, also many times. It's in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter and the 1st and 2nd verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. What was happening here? Israel had been laboring in Egypt under earth time, and what rigors they were under. Then God sent a deliverer to them, and God spoke to the deliverer and said, this month shall be the beginning of months unto you. I'm going to move you out of the weekly earth laborious time into moon time. Lunar time, if you want to call it that. The word month comes from the word moon. The months are figured by the moon. And I think it is most interesting what is happening concerning the moon. We've heard all kinds of comments on the TV, on the radio, from people concerning what man is doing in landing on the moon. To me, it is nothing but an outward sign of a spiritual reality. Man is conquering space and time and landing on the satellite of the earth. And if man can do this with his scientific knowledge, how much faster is God moving? Saints, we are moving out of the realm of earth time and into the realm of moon time right now. That's why our earth time has been so sorely shaken, and it's going to continue to be shaken until we get moved from one dimension of time into another dimension. You say, well, we're living right here. How can we get in another dimension of time? All right, take a pencil, make a dot. This is the basic of a day. Draw a circle around it, and you have a week time, draw another circle, and you have month time, draw another circle, and you have year time, and you'll find out that the day, the week, the month, and the year are one inside of the other. And some people are living in one particular cycle, and some are living in another already. And you wonder how they can all coincide together? Well, one is a part of the other. The day is a part of the week, but the week is not a part of the day. The week is a part of the month, but the month is not a part of the week. The month is a part of the year, but the year is not a part of the month. Strictly speaking. And that's why all of these various cycles of time are going all on simultaneously at one time, but some are living in one cycle and some are living in another cycle. Well, what about this moon time? When you get into the month, so what does it refer? What does it represent? What is the spiritual significance of it? All right, moon time has to do with the phases of the moon, four of them. No light, a quarter light, half light, full light, but all in the night time. It's the light that is to rule the darkness. And yet, it in itself is not the source of light, but it is reflected light. We talk about being in the day of the Lord. Did you ever hear of the night of the Lord? Did you know that it is even scriptural, the night of the Lord? You read concerning Israel, when God spoke to them and said, this month or this moon shall be the beginning of months unto you. And when they came out of Egypt, they came out in the night time, and the scriptures say it was the night of the Lord. The night of the Lord is preceding the day of the Lord, for in reality, it is a part of the day of the Lord. God is moving you out of one realm into another, but he's doing it in the dark. And your only light is the light of that crescent moon that is shining in the night. The new month began with a crescent moon. It isn't very much light, but it's enough light to know that we are moving into another dimension of time. The Israelites of old stood and watched for the crescent moon to arise and to declare that the new month had begun. This month shall be the beginning. And we could stop right there for a moment. This entering into moon time is the beginning. Only the start. But you're coming out in the dark, which means there isn't much understanding of what is going on. And let me tell you, Israel moved out in faith, which is nothing but obedience to the spoken word of God. God said, go. They moved in obedience in the dark time, and not a dog went in the house again. All right. From above? Indeed it was not. And this is what's hard for God's people. They're so used to God leading them in a certain direction that they cling like fury to the old direction. They're afraid to let go of it because it's the only thing they know. And God is slapping down across our fingers in these days to get us to let go of the old thing. Lord, you used to direct me this way. I prayed this way. I got an answer this way. I know that under earth time you do. But when God says this is the beginning of a new time, this is the beginning of months unto you, your direction is going to be different. They started out, God gave them a cloud and a pillar of fire, and they started out following a direction in front of them instead of above them, as Jacob did. But they did not go very far when they faced the Red Sea and Pharaoh's troops were behind them, and they were crying unto Moses, and Moses was crying unto the Lord, and God changed everything completely about. As they watched their direction that was in front of them, suddenly it began to move. And they must have stood aghast as they saw the angel of the Lord and the cloud of the Lord just simply go right straight behind them. Some of them could have said, it's heading back to Egypt, let's go. We understand what that is. We don't understand what this is. And this is where God's people are at the present time. They get no direction from above, they get no direction from before, and they don't know which way to turn. God takes all of our leadings, all of our directions, all of our ways of ascertaining the will of God, even including what is written. Used to be we'd pick up the Bible and open it up and get direction. You're not doing it now very often. This is still before us. And God's taking all of our directions. And he's moving them completely behind us. And then the voice of the Lord said to Moses, command the people to go forward. Go forward where? There's a Red Sea in front of you. Moses told them to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, but that isn't what God told them. And we quote that scripture so glibly, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God didn't tell Moses that at all. Moses didn't know the answer. He told the people that until he received an answer from them. And when he received the answer, God didn't say, stand still at all. He said, go forward. Yes, God's getting everything behind us where we can't even see that which is past. All of our directions and ways of doing things are behind us. And we are faced with the impossible. I don't know how many people I've heard say, I feel like I'm up against a brick wall and I can't move. Sure, God's moving us into another dimension of time, another dimension of God's direction. And he's putting them all back on us. Do you recall that on the Isle of Patmos, when John had that marvelous revelation, and it says he was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. And he heard a voice where? He heard a voice behind him say, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He did not get any direction from above nor from before him. It was all behind him. Didn't Isaiah write and say you'd hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it? Did you ever read that it says, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Of course, God is developing us in faith in these days in a measure in which we have never known faith before. He's facing us with impossibility, and there is no direction before us nor from above us, but everything seems to be behind us, and yet he's saying, go forward. But God sent a strong east wind and drove the waters back, and they went through the waters dry. Where are you? Earth time or new month time? If you can't get any direction from above, God's pushing you out into a new dimension of time, I can assure you of that. And don't become frightened nor alarmed. You'll have a lot of company. We have people write us all the time, what's the matter? Where am I fail? I can't get any answer from God. I write back and say, take courage. We're in the same boat. And there are a lot of others in the same boat with you. God's just simply pushing us out there where it seems we can't go through, and yet we must go through. God's still dealing with Israel regarding time. Back here it's Israel laboring for those things in the earth and bound with the times of earth. Now we have Israel being loosed from the bondage with no direction but go forward and starting out in the night time. you find the Lord speaking to Moses while they were still out in the wilderness. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land, when ye come into the land, which I give you, then ye shall keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years shalt thou lay sow thy field, and 6 years shalt thou prune thy vineyard and gather the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. Dropping down to the sixth verse, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years, the space of the 7th Sabbath of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound in the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement. Shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all the land, and ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And so on, the scripture goes on about the counting of years. But they did not count in years until they came into the land of promise. God gave them all of the information in the wilderness under moontide for what was to happen when they went into their inheritance. But they never entered into sabbatical years or jubilee years until they came into their inheritance. Now, Israel laboring in the earth is under earth time. Israel moving out of Egyptian bondage is under moon time. But Israel entering into the land of promise comes under year time or sun time. He comes into the full light, for it takes a year for the earth to move around the sun. He comes into full light or full understanding of what is going on. Now where is the direction? Jacob received it from above. Israel found it in front and then moved behind them. But when you begin to read concerning the entering in to the land of promise, it didn't say the direction was from above, before, or behind. It simply says God spoke to Joshua and told him what to do. The direction. And if you move into the full light of understanding, where you begin to inherit your inheritance in God, your direction is not coming from above, it is not coming from before nor from behind, it's not coming to somebody else or from someone else, it is going to come from above. You can just about figure what dimension of time you're in by where your direction is coming from. And it's hard enough to shake us loose from the old means of direction, but it's harder still to get people pushed into the corner where they know they can only depend on God's voice. People will tell you this, they'll tell you that, they'll tell you something else. God isn't silent or deaf or dumb concerning you. He wants to speak from off the emergency inside of you. And we are facing days, if we don't know the voice of God within us, we're going to be sunk. You're not going to be able to depend on somebody else. If we're coming into the maturity of sonship, then we have to know the voice of God for ourselves, and nothing then can move. Are you Israel moving out of bondage under moontime? Or are you Israel coming into your inheritance under suntime? Where is your direction? Now let's digress for a moment concerning time and how it is figured. If you take the ratio of a day to 1,000 years, you'll find that a week of time is 7,000 years. A month of time is 30,000 years. A year of time is 365,000 years. Then God goes further concerning the Jubilee. And he tells them how to figure 7, 7, which is 49 years. And then the 50th year was the year of Jubilee. You take 365,000 years, figuring a day to a year for a year of time, and multiply it by 50, and you're up in the millions. Our poor finite minds don't even begin to grasp this. We have a great God. The plan of God is infinite. Man talks about infinity when he gets out so far in figures that he can't even begin to grasp it. It's infinity. Of course, because God is. God isn't ready to wind everything all up. God's just getting you ready to do something. And then throughout the ages that are yet to be, you will be cooperating with God in the great work of loosing all of these spirits that are bound in the dark prison houses. Didn't Jesus go and preach to the spirits in prison? Of course he did. And he led captivity captive. Peter tells us that the gospel was preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. We haven't even begun. We're just getting ready to move into the thing that God has in store. Brother, we're under pressure. We're like the carbon being put to the test and pressured until it turns into a diamond. Take courage, Satan. God's going to move one more time and one more time and one more time, and he's going to keep on moving until the vast reaches of his creation shall know the greatness of his power and his love. You cannot get beyond the circle of his love, the song says. And all creatures shall sing alleluia and praise unto him who's the God of heaven and earth, and the ages, and all that is involved therein. These are great days. They're days when we're encouraging one another. Go ahead just a little bit further. The day is bound to break, even though it begins with the darkness. The light shall come, and the dawning shall break, and our understanding shall be opened. And the earth shall be filled with the glory of his knowledge as the waters covered. Hallelujah. And yet the God of the infinite is the God of the infinitesimal. We feel like we're one grain of sand on a mighty beach and lost in the multitude of the other millions of grains of sand. But God is the God of the infinite, and he knows where every grain of sand is. God's getting ready to pick up the grains of sand and to perform his great purpose of them. Father, we pray that you bless the words and to the hearts of these people. Encourage them to know that God is still God and they are being catapulted by him into a new dimension of time and activity. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord.